ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
You're born in the trees and then you live out the park. But if you've got a little time, then come and spend it with us. Cause now you're listening to The Rough Cut.
Hello, 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 and welcome down to yet another episode of the as of yet award-winning Rough Cut Golf Podcast. And you will be having some spicy takes today as I am incredibly jet lagged. And I am joined by Jacob and Kieran. Mick is not here today. He is also suffering from the dreaded intercontinental drift of sleep patterns and also looking after his little babies. So, how are you guys, first of all? Are you feeling well? Are you feeling happy? Are you feeling full of the joie de vivre?
I feel pretty good. It's been really quiet in here for the last week and a bit since you guys went. It was weirdly timed how David went on holiday to Iceland, Kieran went to Ireland, you guys went to America. So for 3 days of the trip, I was just holding down the fort.
On your lonesome?
Yeah, I was on my own. It was all right.
But to be honest, it was fantastic.
It wasn't. I think, as you all know, I'm quite extroverted. I like to chat to people. You know, I don't like silence. So it wasn't exactly what I was looking for, but it was okay. You know.
Okay.
held the fort. It's fine.
Maybe I know a different Jacob.
Yeah, but I'm not like within myself. Like, I don't want to like not do anything. I like the buzz. I like the
buzz.
Yeah.
Okay.
The bustling office, you know,
Well, now we're all back. I'm sure the buzz will be returned. Apart from the fact I'm literally going away again tomorrow. So
yeah, thanks for
that. It's fine.
You'll, do you reckon the jet lag will like even itself out? Now you're going the other way.
Yeah, that's true. Aren't you going further forward, aren't you?
I don't think anything's going to particularly help right now, if I'm being honest with you. I think I might just get a six pack tonight and just try and knock myself out. And that probably would help more.
What would be your go-to like six pack? Like, what would you go for? If it was to like knock yourself out,
probably bottles of vodka.
Well, that'll do it. Yeah,
Gordon Bennett.
Yeah, I wouldn't drink them. I just hit myself over the head with them.
You do well to get through a six pack of them as well.
And then hopefully that would finish me off. Hey, listen, I'm from Preston. There's a lot I can do with drink. So we've got quite a bit to get through today. We've just been away to the US, where we went to California and made our way over to Arizona for the Good Good Desert Open, in which I played with Trotty Goal. So we're going to get all into that. Obviously happening in Phoenix as well this week was the Waste Management Open, which really did descend into a new low, if you look at it in one perspective, but also if you enjoy that kind of thing, maybe it was the best thing since sliced bread. Also, Liv went over to Vegas, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, we got another tenable quiz for you as well, which seemed to go down very well last week. So, first up, our trip to the States.
Yeah, you say our. We've got three people on the podcast today with one that went. So
yeah, absolutely. So I can
sit here quietly.
I can bestow you with my wisdom.
I'm looking forward to hear about it.
Sort of go in with questions and stuff.
Just pull me with as many questions as you want.
Well, obviously we'll gradually get on to talking about the Good Good Desert Open. When we get to that point, we will have like both perspectives of you actually obviously being there and taking part. I was silly in the end of staying up for the whole thing and watching the broadcast to kind of see what it was about. We'll get into that, I think, in a little bit. But
okay, I mean, it'd be interesting because obviously, yeah, I wasn't watching the broadcast.
Yeah, I will let you know.
I was in amongst it, as they say.
Absolutely.
Before we got there, we actually did a little bit of filming over in California. So went to the Kingdom, got the hat on, went, got fit for the top end of the bag. That video is going to be coming tomorrow, I think, for when this podcast drops. Also played at a place called The Farms, and that was the first full round with my new clubs. So that's going to be an interesting one. It could have gone either way. I'm happy to say that I actually played some decent golf. So that video will be dropping also very soon. Quite a few pro members there. So Phil Mickelson's there. I think the course record might be held by his brother.
Jesus. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it
59 as well?
So they had like multiple course records depending on what tee you're playing off.
So the forward tees was a 59.
The tees that we played off, Sauna shot 59.
That's absurd. And how many yards is that?
It was still like 6'8".
Oh, it's wow. Still.
But it was, the thing is, it's like a proper golf course as well. So it's really tight. It's really tight. And we played it on a day. It was a day where all the members were like, oh, we don't normally get this much wind.
Of course I'm here today then, yeah.
It's like, great, fantastic. Yeah.
Usually it goes the other way. Bushes. I always find that sometimes we get there and they're like, oh, I've never had a day this still. And we get quite good conditions, but...
No, it was good. We got away with it a lot of the time because it was... just look at the draw, really. We went at a time where California and Arizona was actually experiencing rain.
Yeah.
Like, we're near San Diego. San Diego, I think, gets 12 days of rain a year.
And it rained. And you were there for 12 of them.
Two of the days that we were there. Yeah. Like, we got two lots of it. So
you could say that you experienced something that not other many people would be able to experience, is rain in San Diego.
Yeah. I wasn't overly happy, but it did get a lesson in with me and my golf guys as well on my swing. And we did that at the Full Swing indoor offices. So the I don't know if he owns it or it's just an investor, the one that Tigers kind of invested in. So we went in there. So that kind of worked out. And then as we were going over to Arizona, we drove kind of through the night, about 6 hours.
Is that how long it is? Wow. I thought it was less than that.
Nah, we were planning to stop via Palm Springs, where the PJ West stuff is. But that didn't come through. So we basically did the drive all in one go. Stopped at maybe one place in the middle of the desert where people were having fires and those. It was very, very hills got eyes kind of vibes. But got all the way down there. And when we got to Arizona, it was also raining. And it was crazy.
You were just taking it with you.
What was the temperatures like then? What was it? Tropical or was it like?
No. California was warmish. I only brought shorts with me.
Yeah. I remember you saying
which was a very Kieran move, that one.
Just stupid. I brought one pair of pants with me, a pair of waterproofs, which I actually wore at the Good Good event. But it was, it was maybe like 10, 12 degrees. But the wind was very cold.
Yeah.
Especially in Arizona.
It's that desert weather, isn't it? Yeah. As soon as it gets to night, it just...
But it wasn't desert weather during the day.
Yeah, you kind of take both sides of it, don't you? You get the nice warm weather in the day and the cold at night, but if you're
Manchester.
Not getting either, then it's like...
It's just so annoying.
Yeah.
I was getting a bit like... Because obviously we went over... We did other filming, but we were generally there to play in this Good Good event.
Yeah.
So to see it was... smashing it down was a bit of a, because the event was very much in the balance if it was going to go on.
Yeah,
really.
It managed to find like this little pocket in time where it wasn't raining. It rained on the event, but it didn't smash it down. So
did they change the tee times, or was that it all stayed the same? But you were just fortunate that it kept.
Yeah, it all stayed the same. Was there a few dropouts or not? It stayed pretty consistent. The main worry was obviously they sold a fair few tickets, and it was a case of would anyone turn up if the weather was bad. But it was okay.
There's some hardcore people out there.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It was good. It was good. I mean, the atmosphere overall was...
How many people were there, do you know?
I want to say they sold 5,000 tickets.
Oh, wow. Okay, right.
Did it feel like that?
Around a few holes it did. The first hole especially. First hole especially was very, very good. It was very intense. And I was actually looking forward to the event a lot. I didn't feel nervous.
That's good.
But then as we were starting to warm up on the putting green, honestly, this putting green, if you're feeling a bit twitchy, it probably wasn't the best putting green to warm up on. It was like rolling about 12 on the stimp. Massive slopes. Mm-hmm. Like first put, not even that. The first thing I did was put some balls down at the side of the green and I hit some chips. Like first one was a duff. Second one was a fat. And there's about 50 people behind me.
Oh.
Like trying to be positive.
Yeah.
Like not chirping, actually trying to be positive. I'm like, lad, I've just hit two of the worst chip shots of my life.
Here. Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, for God's sake. So I got down to green and thought, you know what, I'll have some practice putts. That'll make me feel better. And then like the first put, I've hit like 12 foot past and I think I've like hit Paige's feet. And I'm like, this is just not going to go well. But yeah, I managed to settle down just about.
Yeah, it sounds like you just got all the sort of bad shots out of the way early is the classic thing, isn't it? What you want to do.
Yeah, that's the way around you want it as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, oh God, first hole. I will not like go through the full round.
Well, we've got an hour and a half maybe.
I'm not that guy. Like nobody wants to get pinned to their chair in the clubhouse to be by the guy.
Yeah,
like,
you get stuck in the round.
Yeah.
But I will tell you through my first hole.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So imagine the scene. But might try and get some pictures of actually. First hole, it's got maybe about 1,000 people around it. It definitely the most people. Well, maybe British Masters. No, Wentworth. Definitely there was more people, but this was a lot more intimate. So Rolling Hills is a 18 hole course with, I think normally it's got like 3 or 4 par fours. On this evening, it had 2 par fours and it was 14.
You mean grass clippings?
I was about to say grass clippings.
You call it Rolling Hills.
Yeah, it's grass clippings at Rolling Hills.
Oh,
that's
okay.
The name.
I've been there.
I've been there.
Well, they just didn't say that in the broadcast.
So
we
didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, you've got to specify that.
To be honest, everyone was calling it everything. So, but on the evening, it was 14 holes, par threes, and a couple of par fours. And the first hole, 120 yards. And everyone was kind of around, everyone was making noise, everyone was all excited. And I'm like, obviously I'm a bit twitchy. Mm. So I'm like, right, 120 yards. I'm just going to hit this little 50 degree. I've changed my swing as well, by the way. Not a great thing to do, just for a comp.
Yeah, it's not really
From the lesson,
yeah. And it's a pretty drastic change, as you'll see, yeah. So I'm like, right, okay, so I'm having a couple of rehearsal swings, don't feel great. But I'm like, right, okay, just see the shot. Little draw. Centre of the green, beyond the pin, bit of spin, rip it back. And I hit it. And as soon as I hit it, held the finish.
You knew.
I knew. Club 12, pitched it behind, spanned it back to about 6 foot.
Oh.
Everyone's out of a chair. I'm like, you know what? If there was a putt, which I didn't need to do much with, it was this one. I just literally had to touch it and it was
just
going.
Just breathe on it, yeah.
And anyway, yeah, just rolled that in for like a birdie.
Your own birdie.
Yeah,
I love it.
And I mean, we're gonna be releasing our own video of what we did, but we got off to a very hot start.
Yeah, well, I mean, all of this stuff that you're telling me is brand new to me because I didn't see you on the broadcast.
Yeah.
I saw you hit one shot.
There was one shot, yeah.
Actually, that's a lie. Two shots. I saw you hit on the 14th tee. And I saw you hit the putt on the 14th as well.
Yeah.
Now, I do have a question for you. This is jumping from the 1st to the 14th very quickly, but okay. I need to get this out. First question, your ball hit Willie Wilcox's ball on the green, correct?
Yeah.
And if it didn't hit the ball, then it would have been pretty...
It would have been very close.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Second question, why did you not take your putt instead of Trotty's? Because yours was closer, no? Or was it just a bit of a swinger?
No, I think Trotty's on the angle might have been a little bit closer. And
maybe it's the camera angle.
It was also like straight downhill.
That's what I assumed. But yeah, the more of the annoyance is the fact that you'd hit this shot. And I thought, well, that could have got quite close if you...
No, that was a bit of a kick. But I think we have to say, first of all, congratulations to Ben Krupa and Ashton Gorland.
Oh, yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce his name. Who shot 9 under, fantastic score. They got off to a really hot start as well. They were one of the first ones out.
It was a classic, like they got the best conditions, didn't they?
They benefited a little bit from having the light. Because it was on the floodlights, but it wasn't like Turkey night golf type of floodlights. Yeah. It was it was littish. Like when it was getting 250 yards, you were hitting it and you were kind of like, I'm not entirely, sure where
that's
like.
Is that where we're going?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. But it was good enough to see most things. And they got off to a great start, 9 under, really, really good score. We ended up in fourth, tied fourth when we shot 6 under.
Yeah.
And everybody can say the thing. Everybody can say the same thing, but we left a lot of shots out there.
I mean, yeah, you were 4 under through 6 holes. So it's hard not to feel like that way, really.
Well, we were, I think, what were we? 4 under through four?
Oh, 4 under through four.
Yeah, I think 4 under through four. Oh, wow. Like, we started hot.
Oh, wow. Then you really threw it away.
And it was just a bit of a... We just didn't quite hit it close enough to like give ourselves a realistic birdie chance at a lot of...
It's tricky, isn't it, with a par three course? Because like you assume, obviously it's only over 14 holes, but you kind of assume, you think, oh, the scores are going to be high. But unless you stiff 6 or 7 par threes and give yourself good chances, you have those short par fours which you're like, okay, well, if I don't make birdie minimum, yeah, then you're throwing a shot away.
I think there were 3 holes. I think if we'd have shot 9 under... I think that might have been a fair reflection of how we actually played.
Yeah.
Because there was a few holes where we knocked it close and we just didn't hold the putts. And, oh, man.
Was it a pretty 50-50 contribution, or was it, would you say, who played better than, you know, who played better?
I think probably overall I probably hit it a little bit better.
A little bit closer.
Yeah, a little bit better. Trotty was just, he started off well and then he wasn't really hitting it too close with his irons. He holed some fantastic putts, which was great.
Contributing, yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah. But I mean, probably we'll have, obviously wait for the video. But the is it the 12th or 11th? The 11th hole was brilliant. So it's like tight hole, a lot of people surrounding the green and the tee, and the guys on the tee have been drinking a bit. That it was a bit waste management-y.
Right?
Yeah,
right.
They'd had a few. And one of the guys we were playing with, I think he might be one of the sponsors. Like we went out at 6 ball. And one of the guys on the tee, the spectators, was chirping this guy. So he's gone like, right, you, like pointing at this guy. He's like, how much money you got? And this guy's like, oh, I don't know. And this guy was, I think he's like John Rahm's best mate. Right. And he's a member at Silverleaf, which is like an exclusive place in Arizona.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, right, how much money you got? He's panicking a bit, this guy. So he says, I tell you what, whip round everyone here. So like all these kind of friends.
See if
you
can get some money.
Yeah, so he whipped round, got some cash. This guy who we're playing with got into his wallet, pulled out a massive wad. Like, God, right. And he says, right, closest to the pin, whoever's closest to the pin wins. And he's like, right. So this guy gets on the tee, has a couple of practice swings. He's swinging it all right, to be fair. And he hits it onto the green. Then this guy we're playing with like knocks it closer. Just like takes all the money.
Oh.
And bear in mind, is that Willie or is it?
Who no,
is
no, it? It's one of the like, sponsors.
Oh, one of the sponsors.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Okay,
so
right,
going, not going. Actually in the event.
In the event, right, right.
Okay. And all this is like, this is all kicking off before we've even hit a tee shot. So I'm like, what is going on? What is going on here? So that's all gone. I have a decent tee shot, middle of the green. And then we get up to the green, and this guy calls me from the back. He says, just to let you know, you've just won me a fair bit of money there, because they're all taking bets on who was going to hit close.
Oh, really?
And I was like, right, okay, you know what, mate? I'm going to hold this for you. So I've got about 20 foot left.
Yeah,
I'm going to hold this for you. And the other two kind of guys, the other two teams, like Willie and Dan, they go first. They hold it for a birdie. The other guys hold it for a birdie.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Uh-oh.
This could either go one or two ways. Yeah, either this is going in or we're not making a birdie and we'll walk.
You can't be the one who doesn't make the birdie.
Exactly. So anyway, I've hit this putt. And the greens there were really good. Like, really good. I reckon about 12 foot away I knew it was going in.
Wow.
Really?
So I just like turn and look at him. Before it's even dropped.
A bit of a Tommy
Fleetwood.
Yeah.
That's what I'm about to say.
I just turn and look, pick the ball out, throw it to the crowd.
Ugh.
Like literally the most... The most gangster I've ever felt on a golf course.
It does sound, though, like the vibe of the whole event, though, was really good. Like, not only was the players and people that, you know, from the guys they spoke to on the broadcast, they were saying how pleased they were of how well it had gone, but also how well the crowd got involved and how they sort of... Because I guess with these things is that, like, you want it to be a social... experience for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's an opportunity for for people to come and watch you guys play, you guys to meet the people that subscribe and watch the videos, and there's almost like there is a kind of relationship there already. And it's just like a really nice opportunity for everyone to kind of get together in a in one space. And that did come across, at least what I felt, quite well in the broadcast, at least. Yeah. The lack of shots was something that I will continue to go on about. Yeah. But if, well, unless you wanted to watch the Good Good Guys, then you were fine.
I was going
to
say, they sort of had their feature group, didn't they? Yeah. You know, and they mic'd them up and stuff like that.
It's very tricky for me to pull myself away from it, because obviously, you know, I want to see you play. I've got like an affinity onto you to do well.
You're invested.
I'm invested in it, yeah. Exactly. But you know, I was impressed. I thought for a first attempt at what they were doing, for you know, I didn't really know what to expect. I didn't realize that they were going to kind of have all like the PGA Tour graphics in there. I thought that they didn't have any tracers, so that was one of the things I thought maybe they could have. Oh no, sorry, they did have some tracers, but not on every tee.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like a little bit. Sometimes when you're hitting the ball, obviously it's night golf, so you can kind of see it, but you're not really sure. There were just points where they kind of maybe filled the broadcast with maybe just chat or like a cart cam where they were just like talking to fans and stuff. When you just felt, why are we not seeing you hit a ball or Martin Borgmeyer hit a ball or Paige or, you know, there was probably about 15 groups, was it? Something like that?
Yeah. I mean,
there was maybe like six or seven that probably never saw the light of day.
Did you have like a camera crew following just your group?
No, so the way they'd done the cameras was basically there was cameras on each hole. So they were kind of there and waiting. There were a few holes which I'm pretty sure didn't get featured at all. So there was no camera on the tee, no camera on the green as you got out to the far end of the course. Because they made 14 holes out of the 18. So there's a few, there's quite a big kind of drive in between and stuff like that. So there was always going to be some holes that they weren't.
Yeah, it could be connection issues or that could be a range of things for that. But.
And I think the overall broadcast, the way that they tried to do it, they got NBC on site as well. Now, I don't know kind of what it was like to watch, but I did hear a few people kind of getting a bit annoyed that half the broadcast was on YouTube. And then it cut to be on Peacock, which is like a...
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yes. So I think the biggest issue with that was that it was a complete surprise to everyone who was watching when they told you, like, in the broadcast. Like, that wasn't really said. And it was only till I watched Nate Edwardson's video before that he said, like, oh, this is what's going to happen. Then there was some ambiguity behind, is that just a US thing? Is it a Europe thing? Because I think Mac put something out saying like, oh, if you're not in the US, you can watch it here on YouTube, thinking, oh, okay, well, maybe you can. But that wasn't the case. Like, it got to, I mean, I think it must have had about 2.5-3 hours of coverage, and then the last hour and a half went on to Peacock. But it was like the commentators and the pundits and stuff they had there, they were like, oh, you know, just to let you know, in 15 minutes we're gonna move over. No, I found someone like streaming it on Twitch or something. He was an American guy. He was just like showing it on Twitch. I managed to find it and I could watch the rest of it. But yeah, it was a bit of an abrupt kind of, oh, now we're going over to Peacock now. And everyone was probably like, oh, well, I don't have that. So,
I mean, I think it's slightly difficult, isn't it? Because if you're going to bring on a broadcast partner like NBC, who have the facility to actually make something like this happen, like, they're going to be asking for something, and obviously that was to put it on Peacock, put it on their app.
Yeah.
So I kind of understand that. Maybe it's a little bit annoying for a few people. I certainly would have been annoyed if I was watching that and so halfway through it got cut off onto a platform I couldn't watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's kind of like, the whole audience of everyone who was watching this event is YouTube centric. You know, so everybody knows everyone who is playing through mostly YouTube. You've got Instagram and all the rest of it. So to then say, okay, we're going to have this live event on YouTube and then halfway through remove it from that platform. I can see how that would not go down well with a lot of people, especially who are not US based, because they wouldn't have been able to get on Peacock anyway.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. Like, the US guys did have the opportunity, and I guess this is obviously why they did it, is the fact that if there was people that didn't have Peacock, they shoved them over, and you go, oh, well, I'll pay for the, you know, the month subscription, or
within their time zone as well, because obviously we were watching it a lot.
It finished at like 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand why. I can understand why that wouldn't be ideal. However, at the same time, if you're going to do an event like this, there's always going to be a compromise. And also, like we got to remember this is the first time.
Oh yeah, oh, no, God, yeah,
this is the first time anything of this
we're
level.
We're being super fussy.
I was going to like they've done a great job, like a great first sort of start to it, and they like it can only get better.
Absolutely, and I think that was very evident because there were a lot of kinks being worked out on the night as well. So whenever there's a first go at anything, there's always going to be kind of things that you want to fix. There's always things that you want to be better next time.
Yeah and I saw on, was it Twitter or Instagram, I saw like at one point it got to a concurrent views of just under 100,000.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, and I don't know how much like a DP World Tour event would get, but
that's going to be
more than that. Surely.
That's going to be more than DP, more than Live.
That was more than a day of Live. Yeah.
So, you know, like, it's a great start. It's very cool.
It just shows. It shows that doing something like this, it does have the attention. It does have the eyeballs. It's then a case of saying, well, next time, what's it going to be? Because I know they announced on the night that they're going to be doing another one on an 18-hole course during the day, I'm presuming, in June as well. So they're going to be having another live stream. So again, that would be even bigger.
And they'll be going through all of the things that we probably said there about, you know, oh, we could have done this better, the traces better, more of a coverage. That'll be on the next one, I'm sure of it.
With it being an 18-hole course as well, like, they're going to have more mobile cameras and stuff to get onto the fairways. And because obviously with the par three, it makes it a lot easier. They can just have one on the tee, one on the green. It made perfect sense to them to do it that way. But obviously now going forward, they're going to have to hire more cameras and everything like that. I will say one thing, though, is that the broadcast, and I don't know why I should be surprised, because NBC were running it and they're obviously a very professional entity, but there was nothing that went wrong. Like, there was no kind of connection issues, or there was linkage between the commentators and the on-course guys and stuff. Like, everything went well. And it was, it for what they gave us, it was for good viewing. The fact that they kind of had like the roaming cameras for the good guys, and you could hear them talking, and the buggy cart cams that, you know, is something you see on YouTube. It's almost kind of creating that YouTube video in a live golfing event. And they did a good job. I think I'm looking forward to what they do in Indiana. Is that where it is?
I think so.
Yeah.
It was cool to see like Colin and Max there as well, just sort of behind the scenes as well, doing, you know, and I like that. I like they've sort of had an input, and they've not just let NBC.
Do you want to let who know who Colin and Max are?
The good editors, Colin Ross and Max.
Just in case you don't know Colin and Max, on a personal level. Overall, it was good, and I kind of understand a little bit about the frustration about not being able to see more of the other kind of people who were there. But at the same, it's one of those things where literally everyone there would have loved to have got more airtime.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's a difficult one because, you know, you've got, like I said, about 14 groups, four at least in each group. Sometimes there were six. Mm. So there's a lot of people to cover there. And being the good Desert Open and those back groups being kind of very weighted with very popular kind of people from the social media sphere, from YouTube, that's where most of the stories were, and that's where most of the attention would be. I can understand if you didn't get to see more of the kind of golfers that you wanted to see, how that would be frustrating. But
it was a frustration that you almost find when you're watching the PGA Tour coverage or the DP coverage anyway, is that like, you're watching something, you're like, why are we not seeing anyone hit a golf ball at the minute? Mm. Like, just could have cut away and seen someone hit a putt or hit, and it, like, the beauty of the par three course is like every shot that's getting filmed should be interesting, should be entertaining, because they've got a chance of either making a hole in one or sticking it close or whatever it might have been. The other thing that you wouldn't have found on the, without not being at seeing the broadcast, was the like catered, pre-edited, filmed good like adverts that they did.
So they
had their additional sponsors with like the products they have, and obviously they've got Callaway, they've got their own good clothing brands, the Golf Galaxy, and they had these other guys like Underdog Fantasy Sports and the Rangefinder company they're with and all this kind of stuff. And they went out and they'd obviously filmed adverts with the Good Good Guys in it to like present the things. I mean, they weren't like extravagant and stuff, but it just made me giggle because it just makes me think of like when we would be here and we were just, it was almost like silly skits and stuff that you would do pretending to make an advert, but theirs was actually like genuine, real, kind of like this is what they were doing. It was, I think it was the Underdog Sports one, like it had Brad and Bubby and it was, they were talking about the Super Bowl that was coming up. And they were like, oh, what bed have you got on? He's like, well, I've got this with. And it did make me giggle, but yeah.
Okay. No, I'm not seeing either. So I'll have to watch it back to have a look at that.
There was one with Steve and it might have been Bubby again. It might have been Brad. And it was about the rangefinder. And he was like, oh, how far do you think you've got in, Bubby? And he's like, oh, I think it's about 130. And like pulls out like his 50 degree, hits it. And it finishes like 30 yards short or something. And then Steve walks in and he goes, no, according to my eye, it's 120, and then hits another shot and it lands short. And I'm like, oh, why have we hit it so short? And then they pull out their rangefinder and it's like, let's see what it actually is with the good, good. Da, da, da. Okay.
Good friends at Precision Pro.
Get yours today.
Yeah, they left a rangefinder in every buggy as well. Well, two rangefinders in every buggy.
Yeah, I think Sam mentioned that. He said you gave it away to someone.
Yeah, yeah, what's it called? The case for it basically, it fell out of the buggy, and like some guy like chased the buggy down. I said, "Oh, Pete, by the way, this has fallen out." And I was like, "Oh, thanks." And then I kind of looked in and said, "Oh, right, there's a rangefinder here." And I was like, "Well, here you go, you can have it."
Oh.
And he's like, "Oh, thanks,
thank you very much."
I was like, yeah, no issue. And then he found me again a few hours later to sign it. And
oh,
I was,
really?
I was like, "Yeah, cool, not an issue."
No, you've ruined it.
Not an issue. So, just in case, if you ever see me at any live events and I drop something,
you might get it.
Bring it back because you might get a reward. You never know.
Unless it's a club,
unless
you might
like
need
my
that
phone. Or something. Yeah. Probably won't be giving you that. Yeah. But no, I think overall seemed to go down pretty well. Met a lot of people there, which was great. Kind of just as a networking event, it was probably quite good. And then we've organized a few things with some of the people there for like March and then beyond. So yeah, for that it was good. And we've obviously got our own video coming from the event as well, which in maybe a week.
So are you going to do like a whole sort of 14 whole vlog of that?
Yeah, filmed everything.
Right, okay, oh, great.
Yeah. So film, because that's like the first, as far as like Quest for the Open goes, that's the first comp of the year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So actually being in a competitive environment under a fair bit of pressure with a lot of people watching.
Yeah.
Honestly, like some of the chips. there was one chip where it was on an upslope, scraggly lie. And I've hit a decent-ish chip. Like I was a bit twitchy and Trotty gets over it. You can see he's so uncomfortable.
Is that shaft leaning forward a little bit more?
Like,
and more?
Oh, no, honestly, it's just like, oh, no. And it's one of those things where you can see it coming. And you're like, this ain't going to end up well. And he hits this fat, where it's like a fat double hit. Ball travels like a yard. And I'm like, oh, I didn't need to see that. But then he comes on the green and holds it for a birdie.
There was a guy who they showed a couple of times on the broadcast, and I'm really sorry, I forgot who it is. But he putted it from anywhere. He had no interest in taking out a wedge. It was like 30 yards off the green, down a bank, hitting it into that scraggly rough. He was like, nah, whack a putter.
Arizona wedge.
Arizona wedge. Yeah. That's the thing, that there wasn't actually that much rough around the greens, but it was like they're all kind of fluffy, horrible.
Yeah,
like,
it looked really, yeah.
The greens, honestly, I cannot explain enough how good the greens were for what is a local kind of municipal, mostly par three course. Really good, really good.
Yeah. Again, I'm thinking back to these adverts now, that there was one that it wasn't a good catered one, but it was for grass clippings, and it was about like it was like the grass league or something. They run
regular comps there,
yeah,
and like they do some pro events, and it's pretty good money.
You can tell it's set up to host that kind of thing.
It's very like in the Quest for the Open video, you might see this a bit as well. So back in California, there was a place called Goat Hill that we went to, which is like a local public course, but it had a very, very good vibe to it.
Kind of like the park.
Yeah, that's how we
like,
kind of...
Like the park, except a lot more rough and ready.
Oh, right, okay.
Just a lot more relaxed. Like everyone go around there with the dogs and in T-shirts and stuff, it has quite a legendary reputation. And that's kind of the vibe I got here as well. Just like a couple of guys took it on, trying to make it more accessible, and it's got like a real vibe to it. Vibe. Can I say that anymore?
Yeah.
So yeah, it was It's well worth sticking around for that video. All 14 holes, exactly how we got on. Stay tuned.
What would be a benefit to us and has been a benefit to us is the fact that because we didn't see you that much, that our video will show everything.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. Yeah.
Exactly.
Proper behind the scenes.
Yeah. You haven't too much.
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't seen many videos come out of like a behind the scenes yet. I don't know if you guys have.
I think a few people have released one, but...
GM Golf might have released one, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, because I had Mick and I had Sam kind of... for the whole trip as well. You know, might as well have like filmed this first comp as well.
Yeah, great.
It was good. And obviously they've got another, like I said, this other event in the summer, French Lick, I think it was called.
Now, the question is, and I think a few people have been asking in the Discord especially, is that they felt that you might not want to go off the back of this one, thinking, oh, you've not been given your fair crack at showing off on the cameras and all this kind of stuff. Do you... I suppose it's a two-part question. One, were you bothered about that, hearing that?
Interesting. I think probably deep down, yes. But like I said, I think everybody on that golf course would have wanted more screen time.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. So probably in that sense, yeah, a little bit. And if we went over... just for this. So yeah, we spent a week out there getting loads of content, so this was at the very end of the trip. If we went over just for that, then yeah, it would have been a little bit more annoying, because obviously I was the only guy from outside, well, Mac from Canada,
flown in,
Sarah, but I was the only kind of guy who'd come in from outside the States. So potentially that might have found it a little bit more annoying, but it's a live broadcast from a golf event.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing to say you didn't slap it around and they didn't show you because you slapped it around. So.
Imagine slapping it around and then they got the cameras on.
Yeah, and they show you.
I'd be like, oh my God, please don't.
Go away.
Please go away.
Find someone else.
You do not need to be near me right now.
Okay. Well, so, it's good that you're not too annoyed about it, but I guess going forward into going to French Lick, is there any desire to go? Do you want to go? Has this put you off from going? I think people would like to see you go.
I think on that, maybe other people were more annoyed on my behalf than I was.
Yeah.
Let's make that clear. Yeah. You know, I'm pretty sanguine about it. But I think for something like this event in the summer, because I know it's like a week before open qualifying as well. So it's not...
That was the first thing I checked in the diary.
Yeah, so it's not exactly ideal preparation. And obviously the expense of kind of getting out there, probably not.
Okay.
Yeah, probably not. Because bear in mind, everyone who went to this event kind of paid their own way to get there.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna host an event like this as well, obviously good, massive name within kind of YouTube golf now. And when you host an event like this, similar to what Rick did with the YouTube Golf Day a few years ago, you're organizing an event, you're inviting everyone down, and they're bringing their audiences. So that's why we got a lot of comments being slightly annoyed about not getting more screen time, is because we were playing in this event, and our audience said, okay, playing in this event, we'll watch it.
Yeah, in our sort of little echo chamber of our fans, that's all we hear. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So... everyone who went would be bringing their own kind of audiences to that. So if you're hosting an event like this, it's great because you're getting loads and loads of input from everywhere. So this event in the summer, I'd be interested to know who goes.
Yeah.
And I'd be interested to know if any of it like would be expensed.
Yeah, potentially.
Because if you were trying to draw... Bear in mind, this event was going on at the Waste Management, so a lot of people were there already.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds like they're going to a bit more of a...
Yeah, so this is a little bit more kind of... A little bit more of a specific venue.
Yeah, a little more isolated place rather than... Yeah.
So I would imagine that obviously be quite a few people going, but I'd probably imagine it wouldn't be quite as big as far as the amount of creators who were going, unless they could kind of get expense for travel.
Yeah, maybe they don't want it that big as well, given that it'll be 18 holes and how they feel they can do with, you know, covering it and stuff. Because maybe that's one of the things they take from this and go, okay, well, we didn't get enough coverage of everyone else because there was six people on a tee box every time and it was hard to pick and choose. So maybe they say, let's just make it a... 10 to 15 man field and have like three tee times of four or something. And
I mean, that's why, you know, that's why they had kind of most of those biggest creators at the back of the field in those groups.
Yeah.
Because it was easy to film.
Yeah. Yeah.
Simple as that. So fully understand why they did that. And like those guys, you know, those guys have been smashing it. They fully deserve to be filmed.
Absolutely. So,
yeah. But I don't know, in the summer, I don't really think so. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't really think so.
I think it's one of those as well, being involved in the first one. Like, you were involved in the first live stream. Like, I think that's pretty cool. You know what I mean? Like, it's an experience within yourself, you know, that you've got.
And it's also a sign of things
to come.
To come as well. You've got here, you know, I've been doing this, like I said, over 10 years now. And if you'd have told me at the start that this would be where it'd get to. I could maybe envisage it, but it'd be a very far-flung theory in my mind.
On this level, the NBC's going to be sort of part of it as well and stuff like that.
This is a completely uncharted territory now. Yeah, we've moved from YouTube videos being small production, not really much going on, like the old days of YouTube.
Yeah, pass the camera around.
all the rest of it. And I'm not just talking about... I'm not just talking about golf here. I'm talking about the whole kind of YouTube landscape.
Mm.
You know, remember back in the day, it was pretty much just daily vlogs from everybody. You think of the Casey Neistat days. And now it's moved on to this, where you've got kind of the Mr. Beast era, if you will. But you've got a live golf tournament being streamed on YouTube. Yes, it broke away, but mostly on YouTube. And that event is getting more views than DP World Tour and LIV.
Yeah,
it's great, yeah.
Which is mental.
Yeah, it's crazy.
If you think about it, like, that is absolutely crazy, but it takes an organization like Good, which are obviously a massive kind of brand now. You know, they've got that amount of power within the industry. Obviously, they have the side of their business which isn't golf YouTube. We're talking about the apparel and all the rest of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's massive. You know?
I was going to say, and they how many they employ as well, I reckon.
It's huge.
Yeah.
If you think about how interconnected they are with everything now, you know, you need a business like that to be able to kind of pull those strings.
100%.
And obviously get NBC involved was incredible as well. So I can only see this getting more and more popular. And I can see the structure and how it all works getting kind of better and better and better as well. So
yeah,
I think, like you said, this is the first event. It was great to be involved with it, really enjoyed it, and it's going to be interesting to see how it progresses now.
It is a
thought, isn't it? And I don't think it's out of the realms of dreaming of an established YouTube golfers like tour, because I mean, you know, there's nothing to say that sponsors would look at this compared to sponsoring the PGA Tour stuff and go, well, why don't we get that going and I'll put some money into that, because there's more people watching. You know, you're going to get the views. It's on a space, if you keep it on YouTube especially, it's on a space that
it's free.
It's free, and it's where all these people have come from and why these people are here are watching it. I don't know. It feels, obviously we can, you know, think about where this could go, but it feels like it's more and more possible every day.
Oh yeah, yeah. The biggest barrier to all this is going to be, in the end of it, it's going to be money. It's going to be investment. So it's also going to be how you could potentially figure out some kind of split, because obviously, with this particular event, I have no idea how much this would have cost to kind of like organize. You've obviously got the buy-in from NBC. You've got the sponsors coming in, and they're selling tickets for the event.
Yeah,
I have no idea if this was a profit-making enterprise event, or if this was just like to cover cost. Absolutely no idea. But if you think about, let's say, the best-case scenario, where it's an 18-hole tournament, or like 18-hole golf course anyway, live streamed, and all the biggest golf YouTube creators are there. Okay, so you've got Rick, you've got Bob Does Sports, obviously you've got the good guys, you've got everyone kind of in this one place. Everybody is there because of the content they make. Okay, so no one would be playing in this event unless they created content.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Specifically, mostly on YouTube. So if you go to a live event, all of a sudden you're not making a video.
Yeah.
Certainly in the sense that that video was going out straight away.
Yeah.
Also, like I said, the bigger the creator is, the more people they're bringing to that event. How are they going to be like compensated?
Yeah. By like in terms of fees.
Yeah. Because I mean, obviously, for this event, we went over there. You know, I wanted to kind of experience this. But if we were to go to another event, I wouldn't necessarily wanted to pay for that.
And
I know that, you know, a lot of the biggest creators in this field, they're not going to be going on somebody else's live stream for nothing.
Yeah.
So it's how it all works out from there, and because it is everyone's dream, I think, certainly in the golf YouTube space, is to have like a full tournament, to have like a Ryder Cup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these things have been kind of mentioned and going around for years, and I think it really would work. But it's who organizes it, how's it split, like where's it placed? Because that's the thing. If it's a YouTube based event, it has to be on YouTube.
In
my eye, it wouldn't make sense for it to be solely on like a Sky or an NBC or whatever. It just wouldn't make sense. Like it has to be live streamed on YouTube, or you're just negating the audience that's made it possible.
Mm. Yeah. No, it's a very good point. Yeah, and it definitely does need to stay on YouTube for sure. I don't know. It's all kind of like logistics.
Unless a broadcasting company takes it on and then will pay creators like yourself, Rick, all them to come and be on that live stream channel. Do you know what I mean? And then if you want to make a video.
Can these YouTube to do it?
Well, yeah.
Which would be great. But and it sounds like, I don't know, it just sounds a bit messy.
You could see how it could sort of be, it could not happen in terms of like, it could be too logistically troublesome in terms of like who gets what, that it wouldn't go ahead sort of thing.
Yeah, and you don't want to be like, again, you don't really want to be thinking about these things because it's not, again, the best thing about YouTube from a viewer standpoint is at the point that you log on, that you watch a video, it's free.
It's free. Yeah.
So you don't want to put it like behind a paywall. You don't want any of that. It's just like a situation which is obviously really new.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it?
Because that's the thing as well.
They had one go at it.
Exactly. Yeah, this is all. Yeah.
And like with YouTube videos, I mean, everyone will know this. Like with YouTube videos, if somebody, if I go off and film a video with Grant, for example, he'll make videos with us. We'll make videos with him.
Easy split.
It's a split. That's how kind of collaborations work. So if it's one-off events, I don't know the answer.
But if you just kind of break it down to simply like what's the reason for all of that, is the fact, at the end of the day, these job, the filming and all this kind of stuff and making the videos is your job, is our job. It's how we make money. It's how we make a living. So if you're going to an event like this and you're not being able to do those things, you need to be compensated in some other way, which is what you're saying. So if it was a case of everyone doesn't get anything out of it and it's just YouTube streams it, but you all get paid X amount of money to turn up, similar to be like what a tour would be in that, or you have a winnings, you only win if you finish in a certain place.
Maybe like some kind of prize fund potentially, because that adds in actual competition then as well. It makes the event, you're just
proper serious,
proper event kind of thing. But I just don't like thinking about this in some ways. Like I said, the best thing about YouTube for people watching is it's free, and then as soon as you start talking about fees for different creators, it starts to get messy.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, I don't know. It feels like these things need to happen. It's the next progression. But I don't know.
The beauty of this event was that people came together off the back of just...
They
wanted to be there. Yeah. They wanted to be part of that hub, that community, that the group of guys that is now on YouTube and the YouTube golf space, is they felt like they just wanted to be part of it. And again, that was kind of the feel that you got through the live stream and from speaking to you now and when you came back, that there was this really just kind of friendly environment that was created. And that's kind of what YouTube golf essentially is at the minute anyway. Yeah. I think there's no, you don't have the drama of LIV and you don't have the, yeah, apart from good splitting up about 2 years ago, but like that, even those things seem so weird of like, people are so committed and invested in this. But we're at this point now where we're having a conversation about potentially having a YouTube golfer.
It'd be interesting to know what everyone else thinks about it. Like, you know, get down to the comments and let us know, like, you know, because we can't figure out.
Yeah, no.
If you could.
Yeah,
someone
else do it.
Yeah, if you can think of an easy split.
It's just a weird thing. Like, it's a strange thing to talk about, the commercialization of YouTube and where it's going. And on that note, it's time for an ad. So also in Phoenix was the Waste Management Open. So this is interesting. So me and Jacob have been to this event before. I've been
so Kieran.
Two times.
So yeah, anyway, well. Yeah. We had the first time we went was the kind of legit experience, I would say.
Yeah. Like we actually spent time in the grandstands.
In the grandstands and
getting involved
drinking,
in the
festivities.
In the past times.
Yes. yes.
When
we indulged.
Kind of the next time we went with Kieran, it was basically just it was a shot of glory, and then
we went in for like an hour and a half or something. Yeah,
we had a couple of beers.
Yeah.
Not many.
It was pretty fleeting, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was
kind of
it was in and out. Yeah. And just to put, if you don't know about the Waste Management Open, for many years in Phoenix, it's always been the rowdiest, like the most party atmosphere. Like it, the best way of describing it is if you go there, there's a massive party. And there's a golf event happening
at the same time
on site. And sometimes, you know, you're not bothered.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
In fairness, like most of the people who go, they are not there to watch any golf. It's just turned into this whole kind of festival atmosphere, really. And drinking and kind of getting hammered, getting a little bit out of control has always been part of this. You know, it's always been not integral, but it's always run side by side. It's an expectation, really, that people will get a bit leery. This year feels like it might have just tipped a little bit over the edge.
Bit too much. Because last year we had a few times where, like, that guy jumped in the pool and, you know, we had all the beer cans, or, you know, go on the green and stuff. But this year was just, everyone was kind of like, they just, I know, they're licensed to just
do whatever they want.
Yeah, just
that 16th hole is almost been like a little sort of cooking, bubbling pot of like excitement and activity. And now that it's all now overflowed on the rest of the golf course.
I think we need to be slightly careful of kind of turning into like a 70-year-old miserable person who's like attributes singular fan behavior to everybody who goes there.
You know,
you see it all the time. Like someone's car window gets broken. It's like, oh, what is wrong with the world today? You know, it's not a single person who's done it. All of a sudden, the whole world is at fault.
Yeah.
So let's not get kind of too excited. But having said that, it did feel like the whole atmosphere this year was a little bit closer to the edge of what's reasonable in some respects. It feels like because it's got such a reputation, people are kind of going there and feeling they have license to live up to the worst version of themselves when they're drunk.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it felt like a little bit this year. And, you know, mostly everybody kind of listening to this or watching this, and certainly everyone at this table, when we've had a few drinks, you know, we do stupid things. It happens all the time. But it almost seems like people are going there with the intention of like getting as hammered as physically possible and then doing stupid things. It's almost like premeditated.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't seem to have sat very well with a lot of people this year.
It the event is almost created within itself, like a safe space, or people feel there's a safe space to do that. That there's this is the opportunity. If I want to go to a golf course, I can get drunk and I can do silly things because this is the one to do it at, and this is where I can do it.
Yeah, well, I think social media and you know, the likes of the Full Swing has obviously made this event kind of what it is, in terms of, like, you know, last year we saw Joel Damon, Harry Higgs, you know, tops off, everything like this. Like, you know, seeing that for the first time, you're like, all right, yeah. I want a bit of that. You know what I mean?
This is it. Like, it's, and you make a good point before, Pete. Like, it's, we need to be careful, or at least I'm trying to be careful in, like, being hypocritical of last year. I would have probably said, oh, it was really cool to see that. And when they made, was it Sam Ryder made the hole in one, and the beers were flying, and cups going on. Yeah. And obviously, some people kicked off about it, but you were watching that thinking, yeah, this is really exciting for golf. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, it's just something a little bit more. And then to jump forward a year and there's been some issues. And I think it's when it crosses the line of the respect towards the players. I think that's where, to me, it kind of just gets a little bit kind of, you know, at the end of the day, this is a golf course and a golf course with a golf event going on, not a drinking event with a golf course happening at the same, or golf event happening at the same time. And I think it was Homer last year. He went and I think he hit his ball just over the ropes or something. Mm. And he walked through and he was trying to get through. And these people just are not moving, and they don't, because, like, you're supposed to be here to see me.
Yeah.
Yet you're here just like, they just looked at this guy thinking, oh, he's just another spectator. They didn't know who he was. But it's like, this is a golf event at the end of the day.
Yeah. It probably felt more like this year where, like I said, with Harry Higgs and with Joel Damon kind of like taking off the tops and, you know, having a great time with the fans on 16. Even like the beers kind of like raining down when the hole in ones kind of go in. That feels to me like it's an incredible atmosphere, but it's also a little bit funny. You know, it kind of makes you smile. This year didn't feel funny.
No.
It kind of felt like there was too many things kind of tipping over the edge. I mean, kind of some of the things where we kind of saw this year. So, someone was injured falling out of the 16th grandstand.
Mm. You could see that happening at some point as well.
Yeah, it's a bit steep. like, fans were filmed fighting each other. Organisers had to close the gates. There was a temporary ban on boo sales because it was getting too out of control. Commentators joining in the booing on the 16th, which I didn't see. I'm going to say one player. There was multiple kind of interactions between players, fans, caddies and fans, where there were some unpleasant exchanges.
Yeah, I think
the one
I saw was Billy Horschel, and some not nice words were said.
And there was obviously, you know, a lot of fans kind of being drunk, falling around, sliding down that really small hill, which was a bit weird. There's also like fans who are in such a state, you know, they're literally wetting themselves when they're sitting down.
Yeah.
Which is, it's kind of, that's what I mean. That gets to the point where that's not funny. That's just a bit sad.
It's ridiculous.
That really shouldn't be happening in any walk of life, never mind a golf tournament. So it's how do you find that balance between having an event which is famously a party for the fans, whilst not allowing it to kind of get out of control.
Mm.
I mean, because I think when we went, we saw it a little bit. I think, what was the hospitality? Was it Greenkeepers or?
Yeah, Greenkeepers was one. It was just like, I think for the 16th, it was just called like the 16th or the 16th hole. But it was Greenkeepers, and there was another one as well. But we had access to 16th, and we had access to the second fairway or something. Or no, the 18th fairway and the second, whatever it was. And I remember we were in the 16th and we were having a good time, and it wasn't, this was 2 years ago, and it didn't feel like it was getting over the top. But, you know, it was, everyone was enjoying it, people were drinking, we were having a good time, there was nothing silly going on. And then we went to that other one, that maybe the Greenkeepers, and it was supposedly, you know, it was advertised as, this is on the 18th fairway, and you know, you are here on the golf course. And I remember going in there and it was like a club. We queued for ages to get a drink, literally like you're in a club, like trying to get through and get to the bar. Then you get your drink and we were like, right, let's go try and find somewhere to stand to watch the golf. There's no good views at all. You can't see it. No one else is bothered. Everyone's just stood and it's like, unts, 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 like going on. And that was the first time I was like, this is, this is not what I was thinking it was going
to
be.
Like if you've ever been to a golf event before to watch, this is so opposite to anything like that. I mean, I've got my own kind of opinions about going to watch golf live anyway.
Yeah.
Like I don't find it a particularly enjoyable experience. You don't get to see anything really. But this was, it's just a completely different situation, a different scenario. Because I remember when we walked into that place and the first thing we saw, there was a girl who was like semi passed out on a table and like all the skirt had ridden up and she was basically showing everything off, put it that way. And I was a bit like, it's a bit weird because none of her friends were like helping her. Like if one of my friends was in that state, I'd be like, I'd be trying to take care of them because they were so blasted as well that they weren't doing anything. But this was like confined to this hospitality and we didn't see anything like too crazy out on the golf course that seemed to be happening this year. And you know it's bad when they're stopping serving alcohol to Waste Management.
Yeah.
That's when it's got to that point. Yeah.
And also how long have we been talking about this and have we actually talked about any golf? So it's like...
Exactly.
I mean, this is the talking point.
I mean, I saw Scotty, like, I think I saw the only person like play well, like obviously, you know, Nick Taylor won, but I saw a lot of Scotty. That's all I saw of the whole event. Other than that was obviously all the fighting, all the other stuff going on.
So. The social side of it. That's
the thing, like the way, and we have to be careful of like not being in our own bubble here. We consume generally most of our kind of news and golf through social. So we're getting fed all these videos kind of all the time. We think, oh God, let's do this. But the actual event, I mean, with Nick Taylor again, it's like just a playoff king.
Oh yeah.
Was brilliant. Like I managed to watch the last of it. And this is the flip side of it. Like the atmosphere on those final few holes and for the playoffs was fantastic. Yeah. Like the roaring and all the rest of it. It was just a very, very cool spectacle to see. I kind of caught it for Charlie Hoffman a little bit, but to see kind of Nick Taylor.
I forgot he existed. I'm not going to lie.
He's kind of coming from nowhere.
I was like, who? What? I think he was a bit of a enemy a couple of years ago, wasn't he? Maybe even last year, because I think he'd made some comments that didn't go down completely well.
I kind of think he was angling to try and get to live.
Yeah.
And I don't think they took him.
Yeah, they didn't want it.
They didn't want it. But,
no, I mean, I'm glad Nick Taylor won, because he was close last year, wasn't he? I remember
The Canadian.
He won Canadian, but I think he had a good run last year. I'm sure he finished fairly close because it was when it was him, Thagala and Scotty, like all thinking Thagala hit that shot on 17 was so unfortunate.
Kind of seems to be the same people who are just at the top of this leaderboard.
Yeah. And
Scotty loves it as well, doesn't he?
So. Another, you know, I don't want to keep talking about betting every week, but another really long odds winner that, I think it was like, every time I see it, it's always in like an American terms when it's like plus 1400 or something, which I have no idea what that means. No. It's probably not that. It's probably like 1400 to one, which that can't be right. That's way too much.
No, 140 to one.
Yeah, something like
that. 140 to one, yeah.
Sounds good.
I'm a good boy. I don't gamble, so I've no idea. But he birdied, I think because he played two extra holes as well, I think he like birdied five out of his last six or four out of his last five. Nick Taylor, like, under pressure.
Yeah, birdie on 16 as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, I saw that, yeah. But the walk-in of the putts, it was cool. Yeah.
And it was kind of pushing it to actually be complete because the weather was so bad kind of earlier in the week. And like I said, it was so cold and it was wet. Grim.
Yeah, it was a lot of late starts and having to finish rounds early and having to complete rounds the next day and all that kind of stuff, wasn't there? Because it was just struggling with, I think with even the year where we went before, it was like frost in the mornings and stuff where they just can't, and they're losing light so quick that they're trying to fill it all in whilst keeping everyone at bay.
Weather's changing.
The weather is changing.
The weather's changing. somewhere where the weather doesn't change though, and we'll hop over straight to Vegas. I think we need to speak about LIV every now and again.
Of course we do. Yeah, it's a big deal in golf now. It's here to stay by the looks of things for now.
Mostly because I think when you looked at the final day leaderboards, like the actual LIV field looks strong.
That was so good. Yeah,
it looked kind of really strong, and it was kind of probably the first time I've actually looked at that and thought, you know what, if I was going to watch purely based on players,
You're right. I think was that final group, it was like Johnson, DeChambeau and Rahm or something. And then, you know, I think that's kind of what Liv's been waiting for. Obviously, this year is the strongest field they've had since its originality. But then, like, you've got the PGA Tour where you've got a Nick Taylor, and then Scotty was there, which helped, and Fagala was up there, Spieth was knocking about. So they had their characters they want. But Liv usually was kind of like, it's Peter Uihlein, and Matt Wolf was there for a little bit. And they've never had that kind of core of guys. Mm. And all the big names were at the top of the leaderboard. And it was, I think there was even six or seven guys that could have won it at some point.
Yeah. So, I mean, it didn't quite push me over there to actually watch any of it, but I could have been
didn't quite get there.
I could have been convinced.
The time it was on as well. What would it have been? It'd been like 10 o'clock. Well, it'd been quite late, wouldn't it? Because it's obviously in Las Vegas time, and obviously you got the Super Bowl on and everything like that.
Yeah,
like
it would have been just before.
Would have been before the Super Bowl.
Before the Phoenix Open.
Oh, would it? Oh, right, yeah. Okay. Oh, right. I didn't know that.
Pretty much same time difference, though.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
It's like an hour, isn't it?
Yeah. Like
where is it?
So, you didn't watch it then either.
No. I saw that Smash won the team event.
Me and Kieran were busy yesterday. You
went to Villa, didn't you?
United win.
Yeah, I went to watch Villa. That was good fun.
So you see, that's the thing. Like, Smash won the team. Still nobody cares about this. I think I am going to. I made the decision. I've been chatting to a few people behind the scenes.
Yeah, I saw some of your DMs.
I had some after my critique of Liv and why nobody cares. Last week, I had a few DMs about people, within the space who are at the events. In one capacity or the other. Talk about how I should maybe come down, see an event, and kind of make a judgment for myself. And I think it's fair. I think it's very easy to criticize something if you've not been. I don't really see how my opinion would change, but I'm willing to go down to one this year and see what it's like.
I think you're always going to struggle because of previous comments you've made about watching live golf. Like, I don't think you going to a golf event and seeing it is going to help in
just watch a broadcast.
Yeah, like if you're not going to like going to golf events now, it's never going to change, is it?
Well,
like,
it's not just that as well, though, is it? It's the whole money thing in it and everything.
Yeah, I tell you what, mate, I'll go to a live event and I'll watch the stream on my phone while I'm there.
Yeah.
So I can soak up the atmosphere and then just watch
yeah.
I think that's fair enough.
That's fair enough. Yeah, I like that.
Get involved a little bit. But no, I want to expand my horizons a
and
little
you,
bit.
And you've got here written down Fleetwood spotted on the ground. What's this about?
Have you not seen this?
I've seen what is the Butch lesson where he's with DJ, but...
So, Fleetwood.
Yeah.
Tommy.
Yeah.
Thomas Fleetwood.
Yes, as he's known to his friends.
Was spotted... at the event.
Oh, wow.
Now, read into this what you will.
Was he there just for the Super Bowl?
He was there at the event, but he had his hood up. So you couldn't see his luscious locks, which would have been a giveaway straight away.
Massive giveaway, yeah.
So people saying he's been working with Butch Harmon. Butch Harmon has a kind of coaching academy in Vegas. I think that's where he's based now pretty much all the time. And people were saying, he's just gone for a lesson. And he's obviously popped along to live to see a few people. Now... if he'd popped along to live to see a few people and one of those happened to be his accountant, I don't know.
I think it's been well enough reported now that he's not...
No. Yeah, because...
He's had two times now where he's been in the news of like, Tommy Fleetwood might go, and he hasn't gone.
Yeah.
I think if it was going to happen, it would have already happened.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's never happened before that one of these pros has said they're not going and... then they've gone.
Yeah, but there's no space for him now.
For 450 million.
I think they'll find space.
I don't know.
I think they'll probably find space. I think
if Dean Burmeister might
get a letter in his locker saying, you're not, Tommy's taking your place.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw the footage of him having a lesson and DJ was there and he was at Butch's Academy. He was just getting ready to win some majors this year. Okay? That's all he was doing.
Okay.
Can you cut in the picture of like Tommy signs for Liv for 250 million when this comes out tomorrow?
I don't know. It's interesting because
with the what is it the Curb Your Enthusiasm music?
I don't know because I think there's definitely been there seems to have been much more of a softening of attitudes towards Liv this year. I think just because it's more established, but also like I said, it was the first time where I'm thinking, you know what? Just purely based on players, that might be a stronger field.
Which is obviously
what they're going for.
Yeah. It was. I don't think you can argue with that. The thing that obviously the reasons why there was backlash and you know the reasons why it got so much hate to start, it's still there. But you see with all these kind of things, it's just, you know, you just allow things time and you allow things to settle and people kind of just sort of forget why it was hated in the first place. And it's almost just like people allow it to then go on of like, okay, well we've given it its bad rep now, but it's still here. So, but those things, it's not gone away. Like that's where I struggle with it a little bit. And I mean, I don't enjoy the fact that they've gone and you just know how much money they're making and that it feels like they've just gone because of the money.
Well, of course they have.
I appreciated when anyone has come out and gone like, I've gone because they paid me a crap load of money. That makes sense to me. I'm like, okay, well, it's, you know, I hard struggle to turn that money down, obviously. But I think people have got very short memories sometimes of why, you know, I think if you were to be hypocritical about it at the start and the reasons for being hypocritical are still around, then you've got really no leg to stand on, to be honest, because if you go watching it after being so, you know, defiant against it happening, it's still there. The reasons that you didn't like it are still there.
I think you're right. It's just time. Like, if you give anything enough time, even if it's disliked to begin with, people get used to it. This is self-scanning at a supermarket.
Okay.
Do you remember when self...
Yes, of course.
When self-scanning came in?
Yeah.
But what do you mean, like with the trolley?
So you go,
you get your little barcode.
You scan it.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You put it in your bag.
Yeah.
You pay for it.
Yeah.
Okay. Like when that came in, it was literally the most hated thing in the world. It was because it was just so annoying. And it was the fact that, you know, people are being replaced by machines.
Yeah, we're getting taken over.
It was this whole thing. I went to Asda the other day.
Okay.
I
used it.
What's the word? I'm not joking when I say this. Okay. So I went into Asda and I'm like, okay. So I went round, got to the checkout. There was this is a big supermarket as well. There was three, four like normal checkouts with a cashier, you know, your little conveyor belt where you put it on. The rest of it was all self-checkout.
Mm.
And I'm talking, there was about 40 stations.
And you had to do it.
And I was looking at it like, I don't want it.
Yeah.
I don't want it. And I think there were maybe two people on the actual cashier things as well.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't like this.
It's like when you go into a McDonald's now, they have, usually when you go in as a kid and they'd have like seven tills of people like manning it and you'd queue up and you'd go up and talk to them. And now they have seven screens that you go up to and maybe like one person that stands on the desk. And that's it, because there's like the 60, 70, 80-year-old that goes in every now and then who still wants to and doesn't want to go through the technology.
That's me. I want some human interaction.
Excuse my ageism, but...
That's what I'm saying is like, there is something there that you really don't like. Well, I really don't like. But then, because over time, people get used to it, people can see sometimes more of the benefits of it.
Mm.
All of a sudden, it becomes accepted.
Mm.
Now, before you know it, you're walking into a supermarket and robots have taken over.
Yeah. People might have initially not liked it and then watched it, given it some time and realized and thought, actually, you know what? I really do like this product.
Mm.
The question is does that outweigh what you were annoyed about in the start? Is the product that good that you can disregard the fact of where this money's from?
Yeah. Well, as always, get down to those comments and let us know. I think other aspects, I think this has been announced today with Tiger Woods talking about products that you don't like to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, such is the news of golf at the minute. Like, we're literally touching on this with
Jake.
Hour and 12 minutes in, but yeah.
God, yeah.
I don't like what's probably going to come out. I think it's a bit kind of like putting a logo on a t-shirt to sell some...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'd rather have seen him go straight into some FootJoy or Travis Matthew or TaylorMade. I get why he's done it, obviously. Mm. Like, it's a money game. Like, not that he's not already got enough money as it is.
He's saying Tiger isn't passionate about the aesthetic that he's going to be putting out.
Maybe he was a fashion designer in his early youth before his dad got his mitts on him to turn him into a golfer. But yeah, it's the logo, which again, we don't know for sure if it's actually going to be it is. But
you're talking about the glove, aren't you?
Yeah, so there was the picture that came out of the glove, which had this Tiger logo on it. And in this picture now that's come out as well, you can see him wearing this glove and it's sort of half of it, his back hind legs are kicked up in the air. You think it's what it is. You just think it's like it's Slazenger. That's all every time I see it and I just think of Slazenger and I can't get it out of my head.
I don't even know if we introed that properly. Just to put everyone in perspective, if you've not seen, Tiger Woods is launching his own apparel brand.
Oh, they know.
That's probably what.
Just in case you didn't.
That's not what we should have said.
Just in case you didn't know.
That sounds better.
And it is one of those things where a lot of people are getting quite excited about it. I'm probably with Jacob. I'm like, you know, good for him. Mm. It doesn't really kind of get my juices flowing too much. Yeah. But you see this with, if you think about a lot of great players as they move towards the end of their career, they all start these extra kind of business interests.
Well, like Greg Norman had his shark,
you know, yeah. Nicholas had all the Golden Bear stuff, you know, yeah. Arnold Palmer kind of did stuff.
Is it their interest though, or is it just like...
I mean, I don't, to be honest, like...
If he started up like an accountancy firm, because he just loves that kind of thing, I'd be like, okay, fair enough.
But I don't know, if you look at Tiger, like what he's done in his career, like you can obviously look at what he's done and say, you know what, this is a guy who is an absolute grafter. Like he works hard. Mm. He loves that aspect of competition and all the rest of it. Like if he stops playing, like it's kind of a case, well, what's he going to do? Yeah. Like he's going to have to do something. So if this is like a way to kind of keep in the game and for him to kind of have that element of kind of work and competition and stuff, then you know what, fair enough. I'm interested to see what he kind of brings out. I'm not as excited as a lot of people about it.
But yeah.
It's going to be a lot of shades of red.
Absolutely.
It'd be interesting to see. I'm excited to see it.
Don't get me wrong. Like it's Tiger. You know, he's bringing out something in the golf space. Like everyone should be interested in what's going on. I'm intrigued to see where it kind of falls into the clothing world of golf. Obviously, this is a conversation we've had recently. But is it going to be a FootJoy Travis Matthew, very traditional, classical players' clothes, like you know, collar up, you know, really kind of smart looking stuff. Or is it going to be adopted by those, you know, fashionistas? And
no,
he's not going to be in your Melbourne golfs and your
Tiger is not Melbourneing around.
But this is the thing: is if it's his concepts and his ideas of how you should dress on a golf course, then of course it's going to be very clean cut.
I think so. I think it's going to be pretty traditional.
I just love the idea of seeing him in a cardigan or something, or some baggy trousers, or just to mix it up a bit.
Okay. Yeah. Why not?
I think that would get me more excited if he bought out something that was just a little bit different.
Yeah, maybe.
Not another red polo. I've got one of them from our friends at FootJoy.
Yeah. I don't think I've actually got a red polo.
I have not.
Actually, maybe I don't. Maybe not from our friends at FootJoy, but...
I've found friends at FootJoy.
Can you send us red polos?
That would be fantastic.
You never know. It might be FootJoy, you know. This whole like...
You never know.
That photo with the glove and stuff like that. Like, I don't know, is it... You know, would they show off the logo? I don't know. Is it going to definitely be the logo?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so?
It felt like a little bit of a sneak peek.
Yeah.
As long as you're still rocking the FootJoy shoes.
Listening to this, you all know.
We could be talking absolute rubbish right now. It probably came out when we're recording this podcast.
Probably.
Because think about it now. What's the time now? 3:30. So you're looking at... What's the time in the US? Like 11:30?
Yeah, you're probably right. Who cares? Right. So on to the most important part of this podcast. We've got a quiz.
We do, yeah. Well, not quizzing. We're tenable.
Tenabling. I love the thought of that everyone just like listens for an hour and 20 minutes. Oh, finally, we got to the quiz.
Exactly.
Do you want to explain what a Tenable quiz is, Kieran?
Did you guys do an introduction last week, or did you?
No,
you didn't. Oh, right, okay. Well, Tenable is basically a game show on British television. Don't look at me like that. I'm trying to say look you on British television. And it's presented by, what's his name? Warwick.
It was. I don't know if it is anymore.
Is it not anymore?
But he is
the guy from Harry Potter.
It got cancelled. It was such a popular show.
It was.
Did it get cancelled?
No, it didn't.
My mate went on to Tenable.
Yeah, it's so good. But you have a list, you have a category, and you've got a name. Whether it's the last 10 or it can be the only 10 things within that category. This week's category, I would like you to name the last 10 players to win more than one major.
The last 10 players to win more than one major.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Are we together?
No. Well, you can be together.
I suppose you kind of have to be, don't you?
Yeah.
Yay.
Or you can do each other.
Well,
you can do a shootout. You can do a shootout and have one life each.
I don't want to be on Pete's team.
I think we just go.
You just want to do it?
Just go back to back.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So, Rory McIlroy.
He's on the list.
I'm going to try and do this in order as much as possible.
I'm going to throw you then because I'm just going to be firing names.
John Rahm.
John Rahm is on the list.
Yeah, maybe I'll try and help you out. I think. I'm not going to. Brooks Koepka.
Brooks Koepka is on the list. He's fourth.
Oh, he's fourth.
Where was Rahm?
Rahm was first, yeah. And Rory was eighth.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I'm trying to think. I'm trying to work my way backwards.
Yep.
Okay, so and then the year before, who was Open champion at? What was it the year before?
It was before what? What, St. Andrews?
St. Andrews, wasn't it?
Cam Smith was the winner.
Yeah.
But that's his only one.
So, yeah, that's his only one, so it's not him. Kind of going back. So.
The person who won the PGA that year.
So Phil Mickelson's not going to be on this list.
Phil Mickelson is. This is why I think we should do lives. I think we should. This should be a.
Just define this category again for me.
So the last 10 players to win more than one major.
So they like in recent times have won that second one.
Yeah.
So it's not just like who've won a major and then who've got what's so obviously Phil Mickelson winning.
Because like it's not like Arnold Palmer because he was...
No, yeah, because he's already completed. He's already got more than one already.
So it's kind of like the most recent to win more than one.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So like if, you know, Tigers would have already done it by 2001, for example.
And
so
there was 10 more before him.
He's now a multiple thingy.
But because there was 10 more who've done it after him, Tigers wouldn't be on the list.
Exactly right. Okay. You know, this is about who are the last 10 players to be a multiple major winning champion.
Got you.
And Brooks Koepka's one of those.
Yeah, of course he is.
All right.
He's fourth on the list. Like, I mean, and now work that out if you think about it.
He's fourth. Right. Yeah. He won his first 2 ages ago.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. But... See, this is the cool bit about it.
Okay, so it will go back a bit. But did you say Rory's eighth?
Rory's eighth, yeah.
So that's...
Right, okay, so that's...
So he won his first in, what, 20...
It's been 10 years since he's won it.
Yeah.
So that's what you're basing it on. You're basing it on, like, his last... All right, he might have, you know, when did he win? What was it, 2011 he won? But it's about that. He won his multiple one.
Okay, got you.
Back in
2013,
14. Got you. Okay, so Dustin Johnson?
Dustin Johnson is on the list.
Justin Thomas?
Justin Thomas is on the list.
Jordan Spieth?
Jordan Spieth is on the list.
Ooh. What numbers are what we got?
So you've got 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8.
So how many left have we got?
We haven't got the person before Rahm.
One. Three more.
Okay.
You got 2, 9, and 10. 9 and 10 are trickier.
The one before Rahm. So Rahm did it with his Masters, which is first of the year. So it had to be the year before, which it was Smith, Thomas, Fitzpatrick, and who won the Scotty won the Masters.
Mm. And Scotty's only won...
He's only won one. So it has to be the year before that. now you're pushing me.
I know, stretching the memory banks now.
So it was... Where was the Open before St Andrews?
It was Colin Morikawa.
It's Colin Morikawa.
Open and his USPGA.
So now you're on 9 and 10.
Oh,
and it was Rory, and then who was before that?
No, this is after Rory.
Before Rory. This is before Rory.
Yeah. I'm with you. This is interesting. This Harrington.
Yeah, he's 10th.
Oh, great shout. So now we're looking for someone in between Harrington and Rory. Harrington was a great shout there. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I think about what years he won it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Don't ask me that.
They won two in a year.
Yeah, USPGA. Well, he won two Opens and then USPGA, didn't he? Yeah. Oh, God, this is going to be a tricky one. This is a tricky one, isn't it?
You'll know him, but it's hard.
I would hope so.
She just wouldn't think.
Wouldn't think.
No, not wouldn't think, but what's like it's just a tough one, I think.
Oh, is it Keimer?
It is Keimer.
Oh,
yay!
Well done.
Wow.
Cause I was just thinking of someone who's... It basically would have been someone who pops up.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Unexpectedly, like...
And now forgotten as well, really.
Because he's won three, hasn't he? Two US Opens and a USPJ.
No, it's just two.
I was going to say three.
Do you know where he won the US Open?
Pinehurst.
He did, in what year?
No.
2013.
Yeah, of course, 2013. Obviously.
Duh.
As if he didn't know that.
But that's what I mean. So the one before that was Harrington, and I think that was 2008. So that's the gap of it.
Just goes to show, guys. It's a tough game. But I think we did pretty well, though.
You did very well.
Didn't even ask for any initials. I have to ask for some initials.
Did you?
You did, yeah.
But this was like Open winners UK and Ireland.
We were going back
to Max Faulkner.
Yeah. Even further back, Henry Cotton.
Henry Cotton, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But that's, you know what I mean? The last two are just the difficult ones.
It's only a slight hesitation.
I don't really know how we could have done any better, to be honest.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah,
Very good.
Okay, everyone, it's time for me to go to the toilet and say goodbye. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. If you haven't followed us on your favorite podcast provider, please do now. And if you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel, make sure you do. We will forever love you and bring you into our home in the case of a zombie apocalypse. Other than that, thank you, Jacob. Thank you, Kieran. It's been emotional to be with you once more. And stay tuned to the main YouTube channel because there's going to be videos dropping. Lots.
Yes.
Cool. Good outro. Right, guys. See you soon.
See you. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.